Welcome to this podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. For more information about us, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.
Really terrible headache, and I hurt my neck last night, so I can't look straight up. It really hurts. But it's interesting what Ben said about King David, that he, at night, he lies in bed and he thinks about his God. You know, it's very true. God knows this is the truth. As often times, I lie in my bed and realize how giant this guy is, how great this God is. God knows this is the truth. I get my pillow soaked up. I cry a lot. I can't help myself but cry. I feel so weak when I realize how great this God is. You know, a couple of days ago, as I was preparing for this message, I was in my study room, and my lovely wife comes up to me, and she said, Josh, can I say something to you? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And I thought, you know, she probably wants to tell me how much she loves me and how much she's going to miss me when she goes back to India soon. But she said to me, Josh, can you make sure you smile a bit more often when you preach? She said, you look very serious and, you know, and people might think you're angry at them or something. And I was like, serious? Is that what you want to tell me, you know? But a couple of weeks ago, after an SN Live meeting, I was talking to Clyde at the back of the church. I was saying good day, and Clyde said, mate, you all good? I said, yeah, Clyde, why? He said, I don't know, you just look serious. It's becoming a problem, so I've got to address it. I have to do something about it. Forcing myself to smile more often. So I'm naturally not a very smiley chap. I apologize if anyone felt like I was angry at you, but I'm not. That's not true. Thanks, mate. Anyhow, it's great to be here tonight. I'm so excited because, you know, every day I sigh, get closer and closer to God. Every day I sigh, journey with God, he's helping me realize there's absolutely nothing better with my life. There's absolutely nothing, zero, to do with my life than serve this God and be a humble servant. The more I spend time with God, he's teaching me what really matters in life. John Wesley once visited a very, very wealthy man. He's a plantation owner, and he wanted to take Wesley around and show everything what he got. Very proud man. So they got on their horses and they started riding. And after a few hours, they realized they only saw just a fraction of what this guy really owned. And at the end of the day, they sat down for dinner, and this wealthy man, you know, with a lot of pride in his heart, the lot of sense of satisfaction, he asked, well, Mr. Wesley, what do you think? Wesley, you know, paused for a few seconds and he said, well, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all this. And I wonder how Jesus would have responded to a question like this. I bet he would have said, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. And who will get what you have prepared for yourself? John D. Rockefeller, famous guy, you all know him. One of the wealthiest men ever lived. And after he died, somebody asked his accountant, you know, how much money did he leave? What did he leave? The answer was pretty classic, and the guy said he left it all. He left everything. We're continuing in the series on generosity. You know, once again, it's an honor for me to stand up here and preach about this topic. I have to admit, though, this was a challenging topic for me because I already shared this with a couple of the boys. It was a challenging topic for me because I felt really ashamed at myself for not doing what I could have really done. Ashamed at myself for having missed so many opportunities for being generous and being a helping hand. I want to thank Ben, though, for giving me this opportunity because it helped me edify myself and have a look into my life, have a flashback into my life since I accepted Christ as my Savior. We heard so many messages on generosity from Uncle Jared and Ben and Chris and Scott and Felicity this morning. You know, it's such a big topic. It's such a heavy topic. Tonight, I want to take this opportunity. I'm not standing up here and preaching about generosity because I lead a better generous life than you. Some of you are probably 10 times better or maybe even 50 times better. I'm not sure. I'm not standing here being the pop. But God put something in me. God challenged me about this topic. I just want to share that with you tonight. That's what I'm doing. There are over 7,000 promises of God in the Bible. And there are more promises of God related to generosity than anything else. The word love, we all know love is such a big, big word. You know, everything revolves around love, love of God. God so loved the world. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies. It is such a big word. It is mentioned in the Bible. The word love is mentioned in the Bible 714 times. That's quite a lot. But the word generous, the word give is mentioned 2,152 times, which is nearly three times more than love. So if it is mentioned 2,152 times, every word in this Bible is the very breath of God. It is inspired by God. It is powerful. It is life-changing. It can break any chain. It can transform lives. So if the word generous, word give is mentioned 2,152 times, it is telling us something. God is telling us something. It is telling us generosity is so important to God. Why is God so interested in generosity? Why is it that God wants us to be generous, that He gives us all these promises and rewards? It is because generosity is love in action. Generosity is love in action. You know, you can love somebody, you can give somebody something without love, but you cannot love and not be generous. That would be cheap words. If I tell my wife, I love you, but I'm not generous with my time, my energy, my money, anything you can think of, it's just cheap words. If you tell your kid, I love you, child, I love you, son, and you don't spend time with the kid, you don't spend money on that kid, that's not love. Our Heavenly Father is a loving God. God so loved the world that He gave. He loved the world that He gave. He wasn't just saying, I love you, and sit up there and watch men drown and perish. He sent His only Son. His love resulted in sending His own Son. He put our sins upon His Son and punished Him on the cross. God is a giver, and everything we have is a gift of God. The very next breath that you and I will take is a gift of God. If God wasn't generous, you and I would stop breathing right now. We have to get that idea in our heads. We would stop breathing. He's letting us breathe. If God wasn't generous, our hearts wouldn't fire up the next beat. Imagine, have you ever thought about the pacemakers and the natural pacemakers, the SNOD? Always made me wonder, where on earth does the electricity come from to pump the, just to fire up the heart? It's just amazing. It is all God's gift. The job we have, the house, the car, our family, our health, our wealth, everything you can think of is the sheer gift of God. You know, there are lots of fathers and mothers here tonight. I'm not a father yet, but I've seen many kids. You know, you've probably been in a situation where you actually bought something for your kid, whether it be a chocolate or a toy or something. And then you go and say, can I share that with you? They'll say, you can't have it because it's mine. They don't want to give it because they think it's theirs. And you as a father or a mother, you probably think, kid, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be eating that. If I didn't go to the shops and buy that chocolate for you, you would be hungry. You have no idea where that came from. Likewise, our Father in heaven gives us every single thing that we have. We don't own nothing. And we keep telling him, sorry, God, I worked hard for this. I can't give this. I'll give you this much. That's all I got. Imagine how much it hurts God. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 to 40, it's a famous verse. And it says, come to me, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, truly I say to you, what you did to one of the least of these brothers, one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. You know, you as a Christian, you know, you're probably a Christian for years and years, but you can go through this passage 100 times and, yeah, I read it. But the more you read it, God actually speaks to you. God is saying, the guy that you actually saw in the street begging for food, the homeless person that you saw down the street, the orphan kid begging for food. You know, I come from a country, you know, India. Some of you have been there. A lot of poor kids. It's a country where you see both extremes. There's extreme slum, poor. And you got the extreme wealthy people, millionaires, billionaires maybe. You can go to some slums where there are places where they dump the rubbish from the markets and that. You can actually see kids waiting for these trucks to arrive so they can search through and have a feed. God is saying, the guy who sat at the back of the church with a broken heart, Josh, that was me. Wake up to yourself, Josh, that was me. Martin of Tours, he was a Roman soldier and a Christian. On a very, very cold night, as he was entering a city, he was stopped by a beggar. It was a very cold night. This guy was shivering and his body was turning blue. And he asked for some money. And Martin had no money with him. But he gave what he had. He had a Roman soldier's coat on him. So he took it off and he, with a sword, he cut it in half. And he gave one half to this beggar and he kept the other half. That night, he saw a dream. He saw heavenly places and all the angels, and among the angels was Jesus. And Jesus was wearing half of a Roman soldier's coat. This is a dream. Martin saw the dream. And one of the angels said to Jesus, asked Jesus, "Master, why are you wearing this battered old coat? Who gave this to you?" And Jesus replied, "Well, my servant Martin gave this to me." You know, as I was preparing this message, I was going through my mail, and I thought, this is really good for my message. I got this letter last week. That's from NRMA. Hopefully no one working for NRMA is here. My car is actually insured with these guys. Now they want me to sign up for their income protection plan and life insurance. What really interests me is the subject title of this letter. It says, "Protect your lifestyle and your family with someone you know and trust." And the letter goes, "You and your family should always feel financially secure, even if something unexpected were to happen. And that's why NRMA Insurance offers two products." It's getting better. I was getting really interested at this stage. To give you the peace of mind you deserve. We do this by helping you protect the most important things in your life. Your hard-earned lifestyle and your family's future." And I thought to myself, what a lot of rubbish. What's that? Yeah. I thought, what a lot of rubbish. And I thought, sadly, this is what the world tells you. The enemy is so deceiving. The world keeps telling you, your treasures are here. Invest in here. The world keeps telling you, it's about your lifestyle here. Luke 4:12 says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." You know, many people don't want to give because of their unbelief or lack of security. They just think, you know, that money that I saved up, if I give that away, how am I going to pay for the house? How am I going to feed the kids? How would I buy the latest car? How would I buy my wife the latest, I don't know, Kim Kardashian handbag? By the way, I don't buy that stuff for her. She doesn't have that taste anyway. I hit the jackpot there. Luke 4:12 says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." God doesn't like it when we test him. But out of 31,102 verses in this Bible, there's one time, I want to put the emphasis on one time, there's once that God's saying, "You can test me." There's one time. And interestingly, that is related to generosity. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring your whole tithe to my storehouse and test me in this, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." He's saying, test me in this. God doesn't like us testing him, but generosity must be so important to him that he went to that extent where he's saying, "You can test me in this." You know, this is quite a bold statement. This is God saying, "I'll give you that blank check. Why don't you give it to me? Let me play this game with you." He's saying, I dare you. Our creator, the creator of this universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the galaxies, the sun and the moon, the animals, every living thing in the deep ocean, the creator of everything, he's saying, I dare you. I dare you to give what you got, and let me show you what I can do. The generous God who is letting us take the very next breath, the generous God who is making our hearts fire up the next beat, the same generous living God who provided for the people of Israel in the desert, the same generous living God who split the sea for the people of Israel, that same generous living God who directed the ravens to supply bread and meat for Elijah, that same generous God who turned water into wine, the same generous God who took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in his hand and multiplied that and fed 5,000, he's saying, I dare you. I dare you give that to me and let me open the floodgates of heaven for you. That's a pretty big insurance. It is not the CEO of NRMA saying that. It is my CEO who breathed life into this guy saying this. And if that doesn't convince you, nothing will. We cannot follow God and love God without being generous. You know, we can give no matter what we have. And many people say, I'll give when I get rich. You know, the reality is that day might never come. God's saying, if you're untrustworthy with what you got, then who is going to give you heavenly treasures? If the poor old widow could give 2 copper coins, then I'm pretty rich. Then you're pretty rich. That's all what she had. You know, we will all part with our wealth and possessions and all the fun in this world. It's just a question of when. You know, some of us might make it to 70 or some 80, some 50. Clock's ticking away. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal. It's saying many of the millionaires these days are actually putting money, a lot of their money, into a separate fund, and they want to be preserved cryogenically. So cryogenics is a state of physics where you're dealing with temperatures below minus 180 degrees. So they want to be preserved at that temperature. So they think after they die and they come back, they have an afterlife, they can buy the latest cars and, you know, enjoy life again. And Jesus, what I said, you fool. Job was a very wealthy man. We all know Job. But he lost everything. He lost his wealth, his camels, his sheep, his sons, his daughters. His wife even cursed him. But you know, it really struck me what Job said. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Yahweh has given, and Yahweh has taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything we have here belongs to God, and we don't own it. He can give and he can take it away if he wants. You know, the rewards in heaven is what we should really be looking forward to. Our rewards in heaven actually is based on how generous we are, how we treat people with what we got. Because one day we all stand before the King of Kings and He's going to hand out our rewards. No one can skip that. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. You know, the reality is we may never be known to people in this earth. Following God might not make you popular. Who cares anyway? You know, the world will praise you when you are rich, or, you know, when you live up to the expectations of the society. But what if you don't have? They don't want you. We all stand before the King of Kings one day. I want to challenge you tonight. What are we holding on to that is really robbing us of the future reward and true life? What are we keeping to ourselves, a guarding, that is actually preventing us from, you know, wholeheartedly believing God? You know, the Bible says no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve money at the same time. It's one or the other. Jesus said, sell all your possessions and give it to the needy and come and follow me. We cannot love and follow God without being generous. That equation doesn't work. It doesn't work. You are in the wrong track if that's what it is. You're really holding on to something that you value on this earth. The enemy will tell you this is home. Store up here. You know, God's generous to us, not because we can raise the standard of our living, but we can raise the standard of our giving. So tonight God's actually saying, are you ready? I dare you, are you ready? Bring the whole tithe to my storehouse. Test me in this. You cannot get a better promise. You really cannot get a better promise. Do you think if you took that dare, God's gonna let you say, well, God, there you go. You didn't hold on to your promise. God has to. He's saying, I dare you. Test me. I want to encourage you tonight. Let's not hold on to things that can change. Let's not hold on to things. Let's not invest in things that we cannot take. You know, giving heals us. Like I said, a lot of you guys are much better than me when it comes to giving and generosity and that. I am just saying what God challenged me about this. I was wondering if I can pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful night. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for the generosity that you have shown. Thank you for the cross. We didn't deserve it, God, but you so loved us and you gave. God, we live in a world where it's all about get. We live in a world where everything is all about you. It's all about me. Protect your lifestyle. God, when we live in that world, help us to open our eyes. God, help us to open our hearts and see the way you see things. Help us to invest in you. Help us to invest in heaven. Help us to be generous to our brothers and sisters, because that delights your heart. God, I pray as we go home, challenge us, God. Help us to have an insight in life. We pray in the almighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's just continue in that moment of prayer. I just encourage you to close your eyes now. It's the 15th of May, 2016. Just consider your life now. Consider something that God spoke to you tonight. We don't want to live with regrets, but we want to live knowing that we follow Jesus, that we obeyed what he said, that we lived a life that reflects the very person of Jesus Christ. There'll be choices that you need to make tonight. Maybe it's in the area of generosity. I encourage you, just as we spend a few moments now, just to talk to God in your heart. Also, like Josh said, if you're here tonight and you've never experienced the most generous gift that God gave to the planet, which was his son, Jesus, if you've never invited Jesus to come into your life and take control, if you've never experienced this generous gift of forgiveness of your sin, if tonight, if you're not sure if you're going to heaven, tonight, if you're not sure if you really know him, I just want to include you in a prayer before we finish up. If that's you, just raise your hand before we go.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. We hope you have enjoyed it. For more information, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.